Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio Advocacy Gospel News for the Persecuted Church. I am Tower and we are glad you joined us. Warn Radio Advocacy Broadcast for the Persecuted Church is not a call-in show. It's a fast-moving gospel news program. All correspondence and inquiries of the broadcast of the WIVR Warn Radio Network can be sent to us through our contact page on warn-usa.com. And today is the 26th day of September 2019. And the scripture reading this week is found in Deuteronomy chapter 29, starting at verse 10 through chapter 30, verse 20. Isaiah chapter 61, starting at verse 10 through 63, verse 9. And the New Testament portion is John chapter 16, verses 1 through 7. No, I'm sorry. John chapter 16, starting at verse 1 through chapter 16, verse 26. And also Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 13. Be sure to follow the WIVR Warn Radio on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram. And on Twitter, look for hashtag WatchmanIS216, and on Twitter, hashtag WarnRadio. You can listen to all our shows on warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. Be sure to take time to read the pertinent articles by the Watchman and also pass them along to your friends and relatives. It's very important articles, and they're very uplifting and edifying to your soul. And this week we feature Enemies of the Cross of Jesus Christ. Enemies of the cross exist. Even in America today, the tide of immorality floods the nation of men. In addition, the rise of the Christian persecution brings to forefront the gospel which warned us that the world would hate the cross and the Christians who follow Jesus Christ. There is hope and a message. In this, let us focus. Also, vanity of kingdoms and the lust of travail. In the vanity of kingdoms, we find that in the end, the lust of travail will prevail. In spite of having it all, hedonism and a free spirit to indulge will find you trouble every time. Here we look at a special written prose to reveal the deep message within, a message to America and the nation, yet one pertinent to every person on this planet. We all face the anxieties of these end of days, and there is only one cure. So go to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com to read those articles. And now I welcome in the Watchman.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIVR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Well, we are here towards the end of the month. October's beginning here pretty soon. It's hard to believe.
Yeah, next Tuesday. Yes,
yeah.
It is. This is the last show. I said the wrong date. It's the 25th. Wednesday, yeah. The 25th. I was thinking it was Thursday. Oh, well. But anyway, it's the last advocacy show this month.
It is. And this summer went by fast. I was talking to one of our neighbors here, someone that we know, and we were discussing how fast the summer went. Today, however, I was following, while we were doing everything, I had a bunch of stuff to do, but I was following all the nonsense going on coming out of the nation's capital. And I'll tell you, Twitter was going so fast, and I was on Twitter working on some of our tweets I was doing out. I schedule them. And as I was sitting there doing that, these things were just like spinning. They were, I'll tell you, this stuff with the Democrats and their Ukraine thing. And I'll tell you, to the letter, I've heard time and time again, Jay Sekulow did a big segment on it, and all of his lawyers. CBN quoted an independent political guy that wasn't a Trump dude, and many others. There's Gorka, many others. And to the letter, it was nothing. This was a big nothing burger. And of course, I would suspect that the Democrats think it is something, but it's nothing. There's nothing there. Nothing of what they said was there. They actually found the whistleblower, where the picture was a woman that looked fairly young, in her 30s, was a blonde. I don't know who she is, but they had a picture of her up there. I didn't stop to read it. And let's see what else was going on. They had an anti-impeachment rally. And there was the one Democrat. There was actually a Democrat that was that's what they said. They that he was a Democrat. And they were all mattered, and you know what, because of what was happening with the Democrats and what they were doing. And so it was quite a furor going on. Now, this is particularly interesting because Trump was before the UN, and he spoke out against China's unfair trade practices. He discussed the Taliban. He discussed religious liberty. It says he defended gays and U.S. and also the U.S. might. He talked about the socialist evil that threatens Western culture. He told them at the U.N. that he downplayed socialism and communism. He also said that that the future does not belong to the globalists, but to the patriots. But the biggest thing that really made the whole thing was that he chaired this particular
UN meeting, or
it's called. It was a Global Religious Liberty Initiative, and he was going to the UN, and he went to the UN for a three-day thing, and in that he was focusing attention on the global religious liberty. And, you know, the problem of it is that this is the exact time that Pelosi and her buddies decided to come out with that. So that overshadowed it. But it still is a big deal. And Rabbi Spiro said that President Trump earned the distinction of being the religious freedom president. He said that, and this is the rabbi speaking, he spoke in soaring rhetoric that was profound, bold, and forthright. He proclaimed the foundational American principle that our religious freedom is a right from God himself. Now, this is a rabbi speaking about Donald Trump. It was obvious that the president's remarks were not simply perfunctory. It was rather deeply felt and deeply important to him personally. We were grateful for him once again spotlighting the scourge of anti-Semitism. He said that his humanity shone forth about the many prisoners of conscience and those oppressed by terrorists, as well as Christians persecuted around the world. And, of course, there was a whole thing around all this as well. And so this is what Trump did in the week that the Democrats spent their time with the phony Ukraine thing. Now, the Ukraine thing is not phony. There is something there, but it doesn't relate to Donald Trump. It actually relates to Biden, Biden's son, the Obama administration, and how, and I read this the other day where Biden was bragging about telling the president of the Ukraine that he'd better do something, and I'm not going to tell you what it is, but you can find it. And if he doesn't, he won't get any aid. And so the president, he said, immediately did it. And of course, his son, Hunter Biden, wound up on a $50,000 a year job on the board of directors of this thing that they were talking about. But at any rate, so this is what the whole mess is about. And of course, even Patrick Buchanan, who writes weekly, although he's retired, was saying that this will hurt Biden more than it will anybody. A lot of people agree with that. But at any rate, you know, the thing of it is that Iran was actually, it was the European Parliament who passed a resolution that called on Iran to amend the national security crime laws. And it also expressed concern that there's no accountability built into the judicial system. And Tower, how many times have we read not just Iran, but other countries where the Christians, you know, who are facing, and in Iran, it's not just Christians, it's a lot of groups, including the Kurds, have been hung there. And yeah. Of course, Abedini, who was released, he said 100 people a month are put on the hang list in Iran. So Iran is really on the forefront of this whole thing. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, I should say, you just can't keep track of the number of the persecuted Christians or other people that are persecuted by their countries because they won't follow the regime, the communism, the wickedness.
Yeah, and they
and
wind up
in North Korea. Or worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
And, yeah, yeah. And of course, they have no rights, although they say that they're supposed to have rights. Iran guarantees freedom of religion. Pakistan guarantees freedom of religion. It's all in their constitution. India does the same way, but all three of those are some of the worst persecution of anything. China even has religious freedom, but China is also cracking down. So the whole issue here, and this is what Trump brought out, that the world needs to focus more on this persecution. And you see, folks, the big problem we have is that, and this is why you need to read my latest article, I discuss all this and how Christians need to get involved, because we report, this is just one reason, we report around the world on Christians and their persecution, and we have targeted various people who got freed through the system, but that's really not the example all the time. Most of the time, these people do not get released. They wind up dead. They wind up in prison for a long time. Now, see, this is where before you ever go to trial, you're already considered guilty because you're a Christian And like if you get in Iran or if you get in Pakistan or even India, one of the best ways to do it, including China, is declare you some kind of an enemy of the state, something that you tried to do to corrupt China or whatever it was. You know, they come up with a term about it and you're, you know, it's like you're some dirty, rotten spy. And you're going to get thrown in jail, you know, trying to overthrow the regime. That has all the same connotations. Now, see, the reason you need to understand what's happening in Washington as well is that, you know, the will of the people, the popular vote, and then there was the Electoral College, which our forefathers put in there to balance out the popular states versus the non-popular states. So each state got an equal vote according to their population. A brilliant system, but the Democrats want to do away with it. If they ever do away with the Electoral College, there will be no way that you're going to have a fair election in America, and those in the liberal cities will be able to rule to the heart's content without allowing you to have any say-so. And you need to stand up today and you need to get involved and know who you're voting for. If you vote for the Democrats today, you're voting for socialists and communists. That's what a lot of them who are running. Bernie Sanders and all the others running, you know, they can't wait to give away other people's money. And as was stated in one of our Instagram posts that someone put up, the problem with socialism and communism, you run out of other people's money. And like Venezuela, you, when it crashes, you have nothing. You have no food. You have no jobs. You have no companies that are built up like you do in America and other nations. So this is why when we talk about religious freedom, when we talk about you need to, as a Christian, get up there, because you need to understand as a Christian in America, or if you're a Muslim or if you're a criminal or whatever you are, you have a right in America to a fair trial, to a speedy trial, and you get to know, face your accusers, you know, and you're guaranteed someone to defend you. In other countries, we see Christians that although their constitution guarantees it, they don't get it. So if you don't want America like these other places, you need to stand up. You need to make sure you understand what's going on here. And don't let this hype coming out of the Democrats in the House move you, because, and don't let the liberal media move you, because I found last night, and Tower found some today, where they were out and out lying. Because I went through it with Jay Sekulow. I was listening to him. He went through this document that was released of the phone call that he had made with the Ukrainian president. He went through it line by line, and there is nothing in it like what they said was going to be in it. And even that one that CBN quoted simply said, I expected to find a fire, and he said, I found nothing. There was nothing in that at all. And so he says, I don't usually tweet things out, but I'm tweeting this out to let you know that this is just nonsense. You know, those are my words, but this is what it is. So, you know, and I'm taking time in the program today to tell you how important it is, because we're reporting on Christian religious freedom, but your Christian religious freedom in America can be reduced to nothing. If I need to remind you that when Obama was here, Christian businessmen and women were getting sued by radicals, and they would go in to these places and get a cake, or they would get flowers or whatever, and they'd want them to dress it up for gay couples and things like that. Well, these people didn't feel inclined to do that for weddings like that. And there was other things they did. You might think, well, they should. No, they shouldn't. You have to have a right. You got a right in this thing. Well, I was raised in a country where the sign said, no shoes, no shirt, no service. People in businesses have a right to determine what their product is and what they're going to do. And under Obama, people were getting sued. They were losing whenever they went to the judicial system in the various federal circuits, judges were ruling against them. The Ninth Circuit was known as one of the most liberal courts. And now, because Trump appointed a bunch of judges, it's not liberal like that anymore. But see, this is the problem in America. And this is where the Democrats want to get back to. They want to open up your gate and allow anybody in here. And how many times have we seen people coming across and getting into this country, and they're rapists and they're murderers and they're gang members and things like that. They're always in the news. I see them all the time in the news. So this is why you need to understand that your country is not going to stay safe, and it's not going to stay a good country if you don't stand up and protect it from people that are elected today, that are in there in the Democratic Party, and I believe there's a few in the Republican. I'm not a Republican or a Democrat, but they're in there. And we know when Trump stood up to go for the electoral process and go for president, the Democrats and the Republicans both opposed him. And even the Republican National Committee opposed him until he won so handily that they had to let him. So this is what you need to understand. Don't allow this country to go on its own. This is supposed to be of the people, by the people, and for the people. But if you allow a bunch of people to flood in from other countries that come in here illegally instead of the right way, who have never had to give anything really to help this nation, just like the other day, they were talking about a Somali family that came in and they had just gotten here and they were given $2,400 a month to live on. And I've heard this story from other people, good, solid people who told me these things. And they've been in the news. Well, nobody's ever handed me anything or Tower anything. And people are expected to work in this country.
We're helping the people that really need help, like our service members coming back from war. They're not even
getting
the medical treatment they should.
And many of them are living on the streets.
Yeah.
So we're taking some time to talk to you about this, but I'm not going to pursue it anymore. But I just want to encourage you, read the article that Tower was telling you about earlier, and she can repeat it again a little later. But I go through some of this stuff, and you need to get involved, and you need to make your voice known. And that's about all there is to it.
The article is Enemies of the Cross of Jesus Christ. That's the one that you wrote today.
And the next one, you know, I put these headlines up here wrong, Tower, so we can't go by those. We need to go down a little bit. I need to move these things around because I have all we do your first one here, and then we'll go down to a couple of these other things. Are you ready for that?
This is Afghan miraculous move of God. This is about, they were a Muslim family. They followed the tenets of Islam and Sharia in their native Afghanistan. Ansari, his name has been disguised, along with his wife and two teenage daughters and a young son, were very devout. And when one of the daughters became deathly ill, nothing in the Islam system could help them, nor could the doctors. But some underground ministers for the Bibles for Mideast in the area heard of this girl, and they went to the family and offered to pray for her. And because the family had no other options, they agreed, which is kind of, that's miraculous in itself that they didn't cause trouble, that they agreed to it. But this, because Afghanistan is an Islamic state by constitution. Any other expression of faith is simply not permitted and could mean certain persecution and often death. And after they prayed for this woman, she received a powerful visitation from Jesus and was dramatically healed. So the entire family committed their lives to Christ because they knew, they were convinced of the reality and the truth of the gospel. And they became members of the ALG Underground Church, and they would go there regularly, even though it was 30 miles from their home. And the church prayed obediently for divine protection for this family. And one evening when they were home, the children heard unusual sounds outside, and the family decided to read and meditate on Psalms 91 and 121. And these Psalms are both about God's protection, his assurance of his protection. And then they spent some time in prayer, and Ansari's wife stood, feeling compelled to read Micah 2:10, "Arise and depart, for this is not your rest, because it is defiled. It shall destroy, yes, with utter destruction." And then Jesus appeared to Ansari, telling him to leave the house immediately. So they left without taking anything with them, not even a change of clothes. They fled the home, and they arrived at the pastor's house, exhausted, and the pastor said he had the same dream that night that Ansari and his family were coming to them. So they were praying for them, and even as they did, the family arrived on the doorstep. And of course, they received a warm welcome and given the chance to rest and recover. And the next day, a member of the church ran to the pastor's home, and he was distressed because Ansari's house was burning. It was set on fire the night before, and it was completely destroyed but still burning. And nobody stopped to save the fire or the family. No one knows whether Ansari and his family were dead or alive. Well, the pastor invited him in, and so then he found out that the family was alive, so there was great rejoicing. And Ansari said, "Though we have lost our house and all our belongings, we have the Lord Jesus and his eternal kingdom. That is enough for us to live and work for him." So praise the Lord that he kept those people, that family.
That's right.
And I believe he does that all the time. His divine is protection. He protects his people all the time. And we probably never hear of most of them. We just hear of a small percentage.
Well, I'm going to be looking at India. And the reason I wanted to do this comes from International Christian Concern, and they released a statement, a little story. On September 19th, there was a Hindu radical, and his last name is Nayak. He was caught and arrested. He had been on the run for 20 years. And
wow.
He was involved in the murder of an Australian pastor and his two young children in 1999. Well, folks, this is very, very close to heart, because Tower and I were dealing with native pastors in 1999, 2000, area, somewhere around in there. And we were told by the native pastors at that time of this Australian pastor and his two young children. They were actually, he had taken them with him to go visit the village, and they were sleeping at night in their car. And these Hindu radicals, a bunch of them, actually came up, set the car on fire, and they all died. And the thing of it is that this was horrific, and nobody knew whether or not these guys would get away with it. They had caught the other one, but one remained where they hadn't got him. And I knew they did. That's what we were told. I read this later, that they had eventually caught some, but they didn't get one of them. So this is just an amazing thing. I think of the justice of God 20 years later. And this was in the Orissa province. And we had a number, actually, at the time we were, when we found out about it, was a little bit after it had occurred. But when we were dealing with these native pastors, we were getting mail from India by the bucket load, and they were selling our among themselves, they were selling our addresses. That's what we were told by some of them there. And the whole purpose was to get money from us. This is an amazing thing. But in the process of working and ministering, we had come across this story, and I just happened across this, and I immediately recognized it. And it didn't really dawn on me when I put this up here that it was the very same pastor and his children that Tower and I talked about so many years ago. You see, we've been warning for over 2 decades now, and this is 2 decades ago. This goes way back to when we began, and people talk about India and has it changed and gotten worse. It has gotten worse in the persecution, but make no mistake, it was always dangerous to be a Christian in India. And you get in some of these places, these Hindu radicals are so radical. Life means nothing in India. And if you're in their territory, they will kill you quicker than you can shake a stick at, unless God intervenes. And so I always felt for this pastor and his 2 children. And then I think about the mom that was left, and it's just gut-wrenching to think that these people can justify such murder when people are
I'm
sleeping.
I'm glad that they're been brought to the justice system.
Yeah. And I want to stop at another one while we're at it. I want to talk about China Aid. This is Bob Fu's organization. And over the years, we've gotten a lot of information, as well as other ministries, from Bob Fu's organization on how things are going in India. He was at this Human Rights Council this week. He spoke at it. And if there's anybody that would know about it, he detailed how Christians have been routinely targeted and persecuted for their faith, with pastors and church members arrested, tortured, and otherwise harassed. And he's talking about China here. He stated that millions of minority people in China's region, Xinjiang, however they say it, were facing ethnic cleansing. Now, this is the Uyghurs, the Muslim population, and he said they put them in re-education camps, a network of prison facilities designed to lock away, torture, and brainwash. And he talked about the Chinese attorneys who are persecuted for their support of victims of human rights abuses. Now, all of these things we've covered over all these years. We've covered the attorneys. We've talked about the Uyghurs. We've talked about the various camps. Matter of fact, Tower has a story, and it's a story why we watch, like for Christmas. There's people that don't believe in Christmas. Now, I have a little bit different view on it. I don't really get into Santa Claus. I don't get into it at all. But, it's like when Paul was imprisoned, by the Caesar. And there were those who were preaching Christ. And he says there were people that were preaching Christ out of envy. preaching Christ to cause me trouble and those who preach Christ to really reach people. But he said, nevertheless, as long as Christ is preached, and I see it as long as Christ is brought up, as long as people are celebrating him and mentioning him and glorifying him, I'm not that bothered about Christmas. But the thing that bothered me was about the Christmas lights. And Tower, do you remember that story?
Oh, yes, a little. I remember that these prisoners, these Chinese people, were imprisoned for their faith in Christ, and they were forced to put together these Christmas tree lights. And if they didn't get them put together as fast as they were supposed to, then the guards would beat their hands, and that would make, you know, that'd be even harder. They persecuted them and tortured them in prison and forced them to do this labor, even though their hands weren't able to do that because of being beaten. And so that's why I refuse to buy Christmas ornaments and lights out of China.
Well, the
make
reason
my own
it,
or
well, they do have Christmas lights from other countries, but
yes,
the reason
found some of those.
The reason this came to light is because a guy that was one of those that had been in prison came to America to live. He was able to get here, and he shared that story with various ministries, and it made the rounds. And he was one of those, and he said there were quotas, and every time you didn't meet your quota, they would beat your hands, and then they would give you your quota to do, and there's no way you could meet the quota because your hands were so beat up and hurt so bad. And so it's all these little lights, little small lights from China. So I tell people, you know, even today especially, try not to buy anything from China. Boycott China. Because not only did they do that then, but today they are major persecutors. Wang Yi, he had one of the largest churches in China, is in prison. His wife was in prison, released. I don't know where their kids are. They usually put their kids in a re-education camp, raising them by the government. All of the congregation were forced to sign statements saying they wouldn't attend there anymore. And if they didn't, they were thrown in prison. There was 100 people arrested, including the deacons and the leadership. And that was just one church. There was many others. And that's in a recent crackdown. And I want you to know that Walmart and also Target and a lot of others have bought billions of dollars worth of Chinese goods. China has gotten rich off of our kind of economy, an economic type where you can make goods, you can produce them, and you can earn a profit by selling them. Communism doesn't do that. And so
the people that live there, they're not becoming rich off America.
No, they're not. So
ordinary people.
So what we're telling you today is, with China and with these other things, you need to be a Christian of conscience, and you need to understand there are things you need to do. And when I go through, and I can tell you, when you go through housewares, they're almost all made in China. And if they're not made in China, they will say assembled in America, but products, you know, are from whatever country. So this is the problem you have when you try to think that China is an okay country. China has always been red China. So the bottom line of it is that there are people in these countries and they need your help. And invariably, it links right back to the political system, the political power of various groups. And when the right group gets in, Christians end up dying and getting put in prison. I can guarantee you that. And in this article, I talk about that. I tell you, I have some examples in there. And we do this to let you know. The bottom line of it is, this is a show not to have people call in and ask questions that they think are important and expect us to answer it the way they want to. This is a show that targets Christian religious freedom and other oppression worldwide, and that's what we look at. We don't do this. If people want to ask questions, if people want to talk to us, they go to our websites like other people do, and they send us stuff from our websites. This is important. This is not a game. Our websites are not a game. When I teach the Word of God, it's not a game. This is serious business. This is business for the Lord, and we have been doing this for over two decades. And I rebuke any Christian that thinks this is a game, and I rebuke any pastor that is not right where they need to be. And I rebuke these things in Jesus' name, because this country needs to wake up. You're going to wake up one day, and you're going to be hauled off if you don't wake up. It's time to wake up. It's time to pay attention. It's time to get involved. And you need to be given something to your brothers and sisters in Christ around the world to help them. If you absolutely are on a limited income and can't do it, you can pray for them. But I'm here to tell you that God will hold us accountable. So think on that. Now, we were looking at China aid. And I don't think I even have that. I did that, and I did the India one. How long do we got? We got about 18. Do you want to try your next one?
Yeah.
Because that's a good story. That's quite long, isn't it?
It is. Not too long.
Okay, go ahead.
This story comes to us from, this Middle Eastern missionary was interviewed by David Platt, and of course of the McLean Bible Church, and of course they disguised this missionary's voice. They didn't show him. They named him Yazid, which means God will increase. But this Middle Eastern missionary works, him and his wife work in a part of the Middle East where it's against the law to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, and even life-threatening to talk about the advancements of the gospel. But they work there anyway among the Muslims, and they plant churches. But Yazid was telling the story about this young man. He said, God is moving inside the Middle East with dreams, visions, and personal visitations. And a man came to him he shares a story about a man that lives in the opium fields. And he said that a man wearing all white would knock on his door every night, and I couldn't look at him because his face was so shiny and bright. And when he would come inside, he asked me to write down what he said. And as I wrote, I would fall asleep, and then the next night, he would come again for the next month. And Yazid asked the man, what did you write, and may I see your notebook? And so the man shared his notebook, and what was written in there, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. He had written the whole book of John verbatim in his notebook. And he said, this is amazing. Jesus visited him every night until he finished the book. And the amazing thing is, the man actually asked us, who was this man that he would visit me? And there I learned a valuable lesson. God will do his part, but we still have to do ours. I think it's amazing that he wrote the whole book down and didn't know that it was Jesus that visited him.
I do too. I love that story.
Yeah. So that's an amazing story. And I wonder how many more of those people get visitations. Well, I'm sure that the man came to know Christ through this missionary, you know. And that's
well, you
good.
Know.
The Lord gave this man the word where he wasn't able probably to get the word. Probably they have trouble getting Bibles, I'm sure. So that's, he has it. At least he has the book of John.
Well, I find it interesting, you know, when you talk about Afghanistan, when you talk about the Middle East, those are some of the toughest places for the gospel. And where
right.
a lot of persecution goes on, but yet we report on stories directly from overseas. And these things are given to pastors who pass them on to those of us in the West. And, you know, it amazes me that when you look around and you see that not, you know, the gospel doesn't stop. It continues. People continue to get saved even during persecution. And so I have no doubt in China that God is going to move in China in spite of what the Communist Party does over there.
That's right.
Because,
that's right.
Because,
he will.
And the local Communist parties. Because there's a lot of this we've reported on over the years. A lot of these local governments are like that. They do try to cleanse the Christian problem. So I find that totally interesting. I wanted to touch on this seminary. I seen this the other day, and it had a bunch of students gathered around, and on the floor there was dirt and plants. And they were seminary students. These are guys that are training to be in the ministry, and they're repenting to plants. They were confessing sorrow and prayer to vegetation in the chapel ceremony. Now, you see, if these people understood anything about the Bema Seat and what is required of people who preach the gospel and teach the gospel, who have a call, there's only one that you confess to. Now, of course, the Catholics confess to their priests, and there was a time when Mary became a co-redemptor in Catholic doctrine about 20, 30 years ago. All of it isn't scriptural, but that's what they do. The bottom line of it is that, you know, this is a new world order, preacher. When you're confessing to plants, when you paint yourself green because the world is dying in a few days. We had all of this demonstration this last week or so. And right during all this that was going on, there was 500 scientists who signed a document stating the Earth is in no immediate danger of getting burned up. But see, the liberal plant people and lovers of Mother Earth, the ones with radical agendas who are in our colleges and our schools, have convinced these young people that the end of the world is coming. And matter of fact, I heard some of them say that, you know, that they were doing that. And it's just like during this last thing where this little gal was sitting between two adults and she was ranting and raving about you taking her future away because the world's going to end and burn up. See, all this is hype. And so now we got seminary students. Our focus, folks, is not on the world. Now, we're to treat it nice, yes, but I got news for you. If you think you're going to save this world by any means, I got news for you. Being a vegetarian, like many of them say, and that's what a lot of them were pushing. That's why they were green. They want you not to eat beef, but to eat vegetables. Well, I got news for you. the dinosaurs many centuries ago, eons ago, ate vegetables, and that didn't stop them from dying because the whole world turned into an ice age. Now, see, we're going, and I can tell you, John 24 says the curse will devour the earth. And I can tell you that prophecy has already told us what was coming, that there would be huge storms and waves. Men's hearts would fail them for fear of those things coming on the earth. This is the last days. So you're either going to be a Christian and have Christ's peace, or you're going to be some of these pagan believers who don't know the Lord. And they very rarely pray or read the Bible, but they have all the exterior motives and gear. The bottom line of it is, folks, you're not going to stop what's coming at all.
That's right. That is so ridiculous to me, Dana. Them worshiping plants, having and making an altar of plants, that's idolatry, and that's just ridiculous. It's crazy.
You know, the thing of it is that there's so much of this stuff going on, you know, today. And it could be going on because we're in America and we have too much time on our hands. But it's also happened, in Europe. It's happening all over the globe in a lot of the places that don't have a ton of persecution to it. It happens in Japan. It happens in South Korea. It doesn't happen in North Korea. It doesn't happen in China, much that I know of. But it happens in Europe. It happens in the UK. It happens in Australia, Canada, America, and I'm sure the South American countries it occurs. And, you know, I can understand, you know, wanting us to make sure we don't destroy the earth. But, folks, it is going to get destroyed. It's going to be made new. Peter says in his epistle that the earth and everything therein is going to burn up in fire. And he says, in view of this, what manner of people should you be in all holy conversation? I mean, that's living, how you act before God. If everything's going to burn up, that means all of humankind's going to die. And Peter says, don't you think you should be a little bit better in your life in respect towards God? That's my relating it to you. Yeah, you should. You know, there's a bridge out, you're on a train, someone tries to warn you, but the engineer just says, I don't care, I'm going to cross it anyway. Well, there's no bridge. I don't care, I'm going across it. No, you're not. You're going to die. See, this is the way it is. God is the engineer. Jesus Christ is the one that came to warn us, just like a conductor does when he waves at the engineer. There are things right now that is going on. They're going to continue. And we do this to warn, exhort, teach, and preach. That's what we do. So be sure to visit our websites, warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. And if you've got real things you want to talk about, don't call me up on a radio show and expect me in the time after I've got a full slate of what we have to cover and answer one of your questions that you think need answered. I can guarantee you the first place you need to go is in prayer to the Lord. The second place is in the Bible.
Amen.
So with that, we've got 5 minutes left. And I think today, you know, we discussed the persecuted church, you know, the Religious Freedom Forum that Trump had up. He was the first American president to do that. That's why that rabbi.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I just was going to say, I think it's great that he's doing that he's getting the word out before the people about the persecuted church. And with him doing that, there's no excuse for people to be ignoring what's going on with our brethren.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, the thing of it is we've talked about that the word needs to get out many times.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, we have, this is the Warren Radio Network, so we're not just on Blog Talk. Well, you can go to our websites and listen and read all the articles because I automatically put them there. But you can listen to us on TuneIn. You can listen to us on iHeart, Spreaker, and many others. So, you know, that's the network. And if you follow us on the social feed, I put the links all over our social feeds. We have three. Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead, and then I'll ask you.
Well, we have three Twitter feeds. We have Facebook, and we got two pages on it. We're on Instagram, and we're on Tumblr. And, you know, over the years, I've tried a lot of them. And frankly, I don't have time to get on all of them. We're on LinkedIn. In that ad that I do, those are the ones I don't mention Facebook because I really could care less about Facebook. Facebook cannot be trusted. Neither can YouTube. We used to be on YouTube, but matter of fact, we are still on there. And the reason we are is because of Spreaker, one of the people, one of the groups that we broadcast through. It automatically goes to YouTube. So, I mean, I don't put anything else on it. I do the show and it automatically goes on YouTube. I don't trust YouTube at all. We've seen them take down stuff simply for having a keyword Christianity. That happened a couple of months ago. We're not interested in putting up with these liberal techies and how they think that the internet is built for them so they can push their own agenda. That isn't going to work. And that's the other thing, we need to stand up. And if I had my way about it, I would tell you to boycott all of Google, boycott all of Facebook, which includes LinkedIn and Instagram, and then go on to boycott Twitter as well. And we need more people.
That's really hard to do.
Well, you know, a techie, one of the foremost techie that has worked in some of these avenues said that the script work for Twitter and Facebook is not that hard. I think he was one of the ones that was working in Facebook to begin with. So at any rate.
Well, I was just going to ask you, I interrupted you when you were going to talk about what that president said, or the rabbi said about the president. Do you remember what he said?
Let me find that if I can. And he said his humanity shone forth as he spoke about the many prisoners of conscience and those oppressed by terrorists. He says the remarks were not simply perfunctory, but deeply felt and deeply important. So he spoke pretty good. He said his rhetoric was profound, bold, and forthright. And I heard some of it, and it was good.
Yeah, that's good. Well, I'm glad. We got a minute, so I want to thank you all for listening, and thank you for all you do for the Lord. We love you. We pray for you, and may God richly bless you. Good night, everybody.
Shalom, everybody. Good night.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warren Radio.